Alright, so we left off, we finished the end of Birkas Hashanim, and now moving into the 10th bracha, the bracha of Tekiah B'Shofar. So we're going to talk about to introduce Tekiah B'Shofar in its place in Shmon Esrei, the general flow of the bracha, the reason that it's 10th, all those kinds of fun stuff. But this week, before we get into Tekiah B'Shofar in itself, I wanted to discuss really a certain turning point that we're reaching right now in Shmon Esrei, which also has significance to Tekiah B'Shofar in its location in Shmon Esrei, but is in a much more broader view of Shmon Esrei as a whole. And this is something that a number of Rishonim point out, but just pointed out as a general observation, go through it. But at this point in Shmon Esrei, we come to a point where we go through a very broad shift in the focus of Shemona Esrei, which is that up until now we've been discussing we have the three first brachos and the three last brachos, which are Shavach and Odah, but the middle brachos up until now have been a focus on individual needs that are relevant to an individual. Now we say them in plural and we say them on behalf of the community as a whole. We have an idea that a person is supposed to be mishatef themselves with the tzibor, to involve themselves with the community when it comes to their personal needs, to view themselves as part of the community. But at the end of the day, we're viewing the needs of an individual, the needs of many individuals, but they are individual basis needs. Needs like refuah. Refuah is a person that many people might need it, but each person needs his own refuah. Parnasa is something that many people need parnasa, but each person needs his own parnasa. And all of the things that have been discussed up until now are things that are applied to an individual. We group them into a community setting, but they are individual basis needs, the needs of the individual. At this point in Shmona Esrei, we turn to the needs that are, by their nature, communal needs. They are not needs of the individual, but they are needs of the tzibor itself. And that is the general flow of Shmona Esrei from this point until, basically, we get to Ritzei, and basically, even through the end of Shmona Esrei, turns to the, at least for the next five brachos, turns to the the main need, the most central need of Klal Yisrael as a nation, as an Am, which is the restoring of the Beis HaMikdash and everything that comes with that. We have the Kibbutz Galios and return of the Sanhedrin and the Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash and all of these things, that this is now a shift in Shmona Esrei in which we turn from the individual needs to the communal need. This switch is more than just a happenstance point in Shmona Esrei that this shift happens, and I want to talk about that now. The first point, just the observation that makes this point, the first place to just find this observation, that Rabbeinu B'Chaye says, that he points out, and we're going to try and develop this more in the next source, but the Rabbeinu B'Barim says that the 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei, right, there are 19 brachos, but the 19th one is the Al-Shinim that was added, but the 18 original brachos of Shmona Esrei, he says, are hinted to and are really corresponding to the Shem HaMeforesh, the four-letter name of Hashem. We find in Chazal, the Gemara says that the 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei correspond to the 18 times that it says Hashem's name in Mizmor LeDavid, And there's a certain some relation between the brachos Shmona Esrei and the name of Hashem. The Rabbeinu B'chaye says that all 18 brachos are connected the name of Hashem, and he says that they're connected the letters of the name of Hashem, or really the tseirufim of the name of Hashem. You have the four letter name of Hashem, although there are only three different letters because there are two hays and a yud and a vav. You have two hays, a yud and a vav, so there are 12 permutations of the name of Hashem because the two hays. So there's the eliminate some repetitions. You end up that there are 12 permutations of the Shema Meforesh. And says the Rabbeinu B'chaye that those 12 permutations, they correspond to the three first brachos and the three last brachos is six. And then the other six correspond to the middle brachos. There's 12 middle brachos, not six. So Rabbeinu B'chaye says that the three middle brachos, he says, are panim v'achor. They are two sides of one coin. There's a parallelism in the structure. There's a reflection between the first half of the middle brachos and the second half of the middle brachos. They are two sides of one coin. There are six brachos for tzarchei b'nei adam, six brachos which are for the needs of people, and six brachos which are for Chazara Malchus Beis David Limakoma. Six brachos that are there for the reinstatement of the previous status of Klal Yisrael, the greatness of the Jewish people, and the reinstitution of Beis David, of the monarchy, the dynasty of David HaMelech, and the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So according to Rabbeinu B'chaye, Lamal Shinim is taken out of that parallelism, and therefore you have the first six brachos of the middle section and the last six brachos. He says there's a parallelism. The first six and the second six, they're two sides of, they're the front and back of one idea. We'll discuss exactly what this parallelism is in a moment, but first, before we do that, the Riva makes the same point. The Avudraham at the end of Shmona Esrei quotes the Riva, and the Riva also says the same thing. There's this parallelism between the first six brachos, which are the brachos of the Yachid, brachos of an individual nature, and then the second six brachos of the Tzibor, the first six and the last six. Now the Riva goes on to explain that it's not just one group of six and another group of six, but that each one in the group parallels the corresponding one in the other group. So for example, the fourth bracha is going to parallel the tenth bracha, and the fifth bracha will parallel the 11th bracha, and the sixth bracha will parallel the 12th, and so on. So in the Riva's way of setting it up, just to point it out, I'm not going to spend so much time on this, but the Rabbeinu B'chaye says that in those six and six, we kind of toss out Lamal Shinim because it was a later addition. The Riva says that Lamal Shinim is not the one that's not counted. The Riva says Shema Kolenu is a bracha kolelis, is a general bracha which is going on tefillah and acceptance of tefillah as a whole, and therefore it really corresponds to all of them. So it's the basically brachos 4 through 9 and 10 through 15 are the two groups. But in any case, and within the groups, they line up with each other, and there's a conceptual correspondence between them. If I remember to, maybe by each of the next five brachos, we will go through exactly how the Riva explains what the significance is. But at the very least, I want to discuss the Riva's idea of what the significance of the lineup, the parallel between the first bracha of the middle brachos, which is the bracha of Chonin Das, the bracha of Das, and the first bracha of the second group, which is the bracha of Tikkah B'Shofar, the bracha of Kibbutz Galios. And we're going to discuss what the Riva says, and then I want to maybe discuss a slightly different approach, or a slightly different way that we can understand in a similar vein, but maybe to take it another step. So the Riva says that Tikkah B'Shofar matches up to Chonin Das, quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Tzadi Beis, the Gemara there says, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Das, Ki'ilu nivna beis hamikdash b'yamav. Any person, any individual who has da'as, it's as if the beis hamikdash was rebuilt, was reconstructed in his lifetime. Gemara says that the mikdash was given between two names or two letters of Hashem, two words of Hashem. Right? We have Machon l'shiftecha pa'alta Hashem mikdash Hashem konenu yadecha. So it says Hashem mikdash Hashem. So the word mikdash is between two shemos of Hashem, and then da'as is also given between two shemos. It says kel deos Hashem. So da'as is also between two names of Hashem, and the Gemara says that both of them are given between two names of Hashem. They're both very closely related, and anyone who has da'as, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt in his days. And that the Rizal says is the connection between the first bracha of the first group being da'as, and the first bracha of the second group being Kibbutz Galios, which is the first step towards the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
I was just going to say, it's not really directly in front of the Beis HaMikdash, it's much later, but it's the first step.
Right, so we have, for example, we have Yerushalayim Yircha, we have Es Tzemach David is not as much directly, but I guess Ubnei Yerushalayim, right? The one that probably the most directly fits in is actually not part of the middle brachos. The bracha of Ritzei is about the avoda and vir veisecha, but the middle brachos, so there's none of them that are explicitly about the Beis HaMikdash. We've got about Yerushalayim, that's true, but the Rivah says that Tika B'Shofar, which is the first step, is the beginning of the process of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, that corresponds to Chonin Da'as, because anyone who has Da'as is as if the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt in his days. To explain the significance of that.
The Da'as of what? The Da'as of Hashem, that they know they exist? What do you mean by Da'as?
So, we'll maybe get back to in a minute exactly the idea of what Das is, but it's not talking about knowledge of one specific thing. It's talking about more of the faculty of Das, which we'll get in a moment to exactly defining it. We've done it. I think we've discussed it before, but the idea of Das is in the structure of, you know, we have Chachma, Bina, and Das. That Chachma is the knowledge of, is you know, so to speak, wisdom, know is the extrapolation, the developing the knowledge, the building, taking it the next step, and then Da'as is that level of it's hard to describe it, but everyone's experienced it, is that when things, Rashi describes it as Ruach HaKodesh, but it's something where the information becomes something more than what all of the parts, you know, in a purely mechanical way add up to. It's a very kind of rough analogy. When you have, you know, a detective or a judge or something like that, that you're collecting a number of facts, and you're gathering the information, and you're you know, figuring out one thing from the next, and all of a sudden everything fits together in a way that creates a picture which is more than the facts which is more than anything that the facts themselves add up to. That's Das is what you may call awareness. It's something which is more than, it's born out of what you have, but it's more than what was there. It's something which comes from the everything coming together in a way which kind of super exceeds just the cold mechanical step-by-step, I guess we call it, you know, scientific process. but so the Maharsha explains this idea. The Maharsha there on the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the idea, the Mikdash, is between two osios of Hashem, two names of Hashem. He says it's between the name, one name of Hashem to the right and one name of Hashem to the left. And he says in the Migdash, the idea of the Da'as and Migdash is that the right and the left correspond to Chachma and Bina, Kabbalist of side, Bina is the left side, corresponding to all the Chesed is the right side, and Gur is the left side, the same structure, that you have the right and the left, and Da'as is the one which is, the Maharsha says, understood to be the highest level, which branches the two, and says the Maharsha that the one who has Da'as is the one who knows how to mitzarif. He knows how to combine and put together the two opposite sides, that on the right and that on the left, that which joins the two, connects the two in between them, is Da'as. And therefore, it is the Midas Adin and the Midas Arachamim, the Midas Arachamim and the Midas Adin, I guess, really be. And he knows how to unite the two, to harmonize the two into something greater. That's what the Midah of Das is. Bezalel was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash, says that Bezalel, the Medrash says, knew how to be mitzarif the osios shebo nivru shamayim v'aretz. He knew how to combine the letters with which shamayim and aretz were created. The pasuk says vayimala oso ruach elokim b'chachma uvetzvuna uvedas. And the pasuk says that the shemayim was made, that the Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz konin shemayim b'tvuna af tohomos b'das b'das nikvu, right, that the shemayim and aretz were created with chachma and bina, and Bezalel had the da'as that he knew how to be mitzarif those two. They knew how to be mitzarif. The same thing. He knew how to be mitzarif. The right and the left. The right is chachma, and the left is the bina. The right is the shemayim, and the left is aretz. And Bezalel had da'as to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that was the idea of being able to take everything and put it together. That's the same idea, that the Migdash is what creates the chibor between Shemayim and Aretz, and therefore Bezalel, who had Da'as, was the one who had the ability to create the Beis HaMikdash. So I want to go one step further. The idea of Da'as is the idea of chibor, the idea of connection, of connecting two things. In what we were describing before, it's taking the cold facts and taking the extrapolation from it, and then there's some way in which it all comes together in a way that is more than just adding everything in a vacuum. There's some combination which creates something new, which synthesizes the two and makes something new out of it. The idea of Da'as, in a broader sense, is this idea of chibor, the very first place, not the very first place, but very early on in the Torah, we find that the Torah says the Adam yada es chava, right? We talk about the expression knowing in a biblical sense, so that's where it comes from. That Adam knew chava means that he connected to her, that they had relations, that they united. And that was vayu lebasar echad, right? That's the way the Torah describes the union of marriage is becoming one. That union, the Torah describes the very first instance of that union as v'adam yada es chava. Adam came to have da'as of chava. The idea of da'as is the idea of a chibor, that they connected, that they came together. And not to go into this, not trying to get too far off track into all kinds of Kabbalistic things, but just to put it in, it all fits in that in Kabbalistic thought also, man represents Chachma and women represent Bina. Chachma and Bina, and the chibor of the two was the Adam Yada Eschava. Da'as was the Kamchar, and the idea that Da'as is being Mechaber, these two components. The same thing that the Eitz Hada'as, Tovara, the tree of knowledge. Talk about it on several levels of what it means, that how the idea of Das ties in is that But just one example, the Medrash or the Gemara brings several opinions about what was the pre-Eitz Hadas, what was the fruit of the Eitz Hadas. So a number of opinions the Gemara says. One opinion says that it was chita, that the Eitz Hadas was wheat. And the Gemara says, how does he know? And particularly he needs the biggest proof because, you know, chita we don't really view as an eitz. It's a plant. Happens to be that the Gemara says that, you know, Lassid Lavo in the future, that trees are going to grow bread, and maybe, you know, maybe in before the height of Adam Rishon, and also the trees grew bread, and, you know, so it was a wheat tree which produced bread, but he doesn't say it was bread, he says it was a chita, it was a grain of wheat. So how does he know that the Eitz Hadas was wheat? So he says because a child or an infant does not know how to call Ima V'Aba. He doesn't know how to speak, basically. An infant does not gain the ability to speak until he's tasted chita, until he's had wheat, until he's eaten some wheat product. He doesn't have the ability to speak. The idea of speech, and this I know we discussed before, but just to revisit it very very briefly, the idea of speech, the Maharal discusses this in Gevurah Hashem, the idea of dibor is the chibor, it's the connection between your seichel and your guf. It's the connection between the mental capacity of a person and the physical capacity of a person. Animals, which have, you know, the same physical person, dibor, they can make noises and sounds, but they don't have speech because they lack the mental capacity. They lack seichel. And a child is born with the faculty of speech until he gets to a point where he develops to the point where he can connect those two. There's the connection between the physical part, that component of the person, and the mental component is expressed through speech. That combination is the capacity of speech. That's why someone who cannot speak was the classic example of someone who is not considered a bar da'as, doesn't have the faculty of da'as, doesn't have that faculty to combine those two components, that the faculty of speech is the chibor, is that combination of the physical and the mental aspect of a person produces that faculty of speech. As the Maharal explains, that's what happens when a person becomes an Adam, when the person is born, the point at which the neshama combines with the guf is the point at which the malach, when he's born, the malach hits him on the mouth. So the Maharal says it doesn't mean he gives him a patch. It means he puts the finishing touch on him. Like the expression in the Gemara, maka bepatish, right? It is the finishing touch. The finishing touch is in his peh, is his mouth. When the neshama and the guf combine, when he's born and the neshama goes into the guf, that's the point at which he gains the faculty of the peh, of dibor, as dibor is that same idea of the combination between the physical and the I guess we call it the physical and mental faculties of a person. The Medrash says that we've mentioned this Medrash before, but the Medrash that goes through everything and says in history where the Malachim were Mechadish that bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, you know, Magen Avraham, at the point at which Hashem saved Avraham, and Baruch Atah Hashem, all of the different the brachos, there was some point at which the Malachim originally said that bracha. So the Gemara says that Baruch Atah Hashem Chonein Hada'as, the Malachim said, when the night before Yosef went to meet Paro, that a malach came and taught Yosef to speak all of the 70 languages. It was at that point where he learned all of the 70 languages that the malachim said, Baruch Atah Hashem Chonein Hada'as. So it was at the point at which he reached the complete knowledge, the absolute knowledge of dibor, of speech, was at the point at which the malachim said that he's Chonein Da'as. Right? And that's the idea of Da'as, the idea of speech, is this connection between those two opposites is comes through da'as. That's where speech comes from, and therefore those the pre-Eitz HaDa'as was that pre where a person does not gain the faculty of speech until they've experienced that, until they've tasted that. the Migdash, the basis. So that the idea of Das is the idea of Chibor, the idea of connecting two things. So just one last small point about that idea. We find about speech that speech kind of straddles the line in Halakha between an act and a thought. There's some places in Halakha, it's a sugya in its own, but there's some places in Halakha where speech constitutes a maisa, constitutes an act, that a person is going to be punished for having done an avera through speech, because the moving his lips will be considered to be an act. And there are other cases in which speech is not considered an action. There's an avera, a lav she'ein bo maisa. It was you did something which was not considered an act. Dibor is straddling that line. It's in some ways it is a maisa, but in some ways it's just a thought. And that's exactly the point where speech resides, is it's that point of connection between thought and action, and therefore it sometimes it's tipped the balance to one side or to the other side. That's the idea of what speech is the combining point of, is the chibor of thought and action. The Beis HaMikdash is also the point of chibor. The Beis HaMikdash is mechaber the shamayim va'aretz. So that same medrash that we were just mentioning, that the angels, the malachim, said Chonein Hadas, when Yosef learned the 70 languages, the Medrash says that the Malachim said, Hakel HaKadosh, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh, when Yaakov came to the Sha'ar Shamayim, when he came to the Beis HaMikdash, went to the future point of, he was transported to the future site of the Beis HaMikdash, he was taken to that point of Sha'ar Shamayim, is when the Malachim said Hakel Hakadosh. When the Malachim said Baruch Hashem Hakel Hakadosh, because the Beis HaMikdash is the Sha'ar HaShemayim. It's the point of Chibor. It's the point of connection between the two. And we discussed, I think, at great length when we learned the third bracha, the bracha of Atah Kadosh, this idea that Kedusha is also this point of the combination of two opposites, the synthesis of two opposites which don't seem to go together. That was the Midah of Yaakov, was Avraham, his grandfather, epitomized the Midah of Chesed, and Yitzchak, his father, epitomized the Midah of Gevura. These two, they're on two opposite extremes, and Yaakov was the one who came and synthesized the two into Emes. And that Yaakov is the Midah of Kedusha, the Midah of synthesizing, putting everything together. And then when the point at which he came to Sha'ar HaShemayim, the point of connection of Shemayim and Aretz, that's the point at which the Malachim said Hakel HaKadosh. The Mikdash is the same idea of this Chibor, it's the same idea of this point of connection. And therefore, the idea of Da'as and the idea of Mikdash are not just coincidentally related. They're two manifestations of the same idea. The idea of Da'as is the idea of Chibor, the idea of connecting, right? Chachma and Bina combined in Da'as. And the idea of Mikdash is the idea of connecting Shemayim and Aretz, connecting the higher and the lower, the point of Chibor, that Sha'ar HaShemayim, the point of connection. That's also the base, that's Mikdash. That's the corresponding element, Das and Mikdash. They really represent that same idea. Kibbutz Galios, which is, maybe we call it the more direct theme of this bracha, is the beginning of the process which leads to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But most directly, the bracha is about Kibbutz Galios, is about ingathering of the Jewish people, is about them coming together. And I want to point this out, we'll get back to this, I hope, at some point. It's not actually, if you look, the focus of the bracha is not actually about coming to Eretz Yisrael. There's midrashim there's some nuschos of the tefillah that actually say le'artzenu, kabatzenu yachad me'arba kanfos aretz le'artzenu. We don't have that nuschos. There's debate whether or not that's better or worse, whatever it is. But there's a lot of evidence that this bracha is really not about the geographical ingathering to Eretz Yisrael. It is about the Jewish people coming together. For example, the bracha was established in the time of Bayis Sheni when they were in Eretz Yisrael. But since only a fraction of the Jewish people had come up, it was only there wasn't a kibbutz, there wasn't a gathering. They weren't together. They had Eretz Yisrael, but they weren't together. So therefore, that was the lacking in a kibbutz galus. So there certainly is a chelek of the geula which involves coming back to Eretz Yisrael, but the kibbutz galus is not. The idea of this bracha, the kibbutz galus, is not necessarily about going about physically coming back to Eretz Yisrael, but it's about the coming back to of the coming together. The Vilna Gaon, for example, said, based on a pasuk in I don't have my siddur agro with me, so I don't remember where the pasuk was, but the Vilna Gaon discusses the idea of the Dover Shalom discusses that the Medrashim talk about that there's going to be multiple stages to the Geula, the first of which is before the Jewish people return to Eretz Yisrael, which might mean in a spiritual level, not necessarily in a physical, I'm not sure, but before there's this return is that they first gather together. First they gather together and then they go up together. And the first thing is a kibbutz galus. The first thing is the ingathering, is that you're bringing the people of Klal Yisrael who are separated and dispersed, reconnecting them. Kibbutz galus is also an idea of chibor. It is the reconnection of the disparate elements of the Jewish people. And the malachim, the same medrash they're talking about, that the malachim said the bracha at a certain point, the malachim said, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekabitz Nidchei Amo Yisrael, at a very interesting time. The Jewish people were not in Eretz Yisrael, and in fact, Klal Yisrael had just left Eretz Yisrael when the malachim said this bracha. The malachim said this bracha when Yosef was reunited with his brothers in Mitzrayim. When the Shvatim came down to Mitzrayim, and the brothers, and after the whole story, and they were, and Yosef revealed himself, and they were reunited, and they came back together. It's at that point when they reunited that the malachim said, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekabitz Nidchei Amo Yisrael. That's also a strong indication that the actual Eretz Yisrael component is not really the focal point of the bracha. This bracha was when they left Eretz Yisrael, but they came back together. It was the reuniting of the disparate and the separated components of Klal Yisrael who were at odds with each other. It's when they come back together, when they're reunited, that's when the Malachim said, Mekabitz Nidchei Amo Yisrael. To tie in one more point here, it was Yosef, B'nai Rachel, representing B'nai Rachel, because Binyamin wasn't there at the time of when their dispute happened, so Yosef was the only B'nai Rachel involved, and the brothers, representing B'nai Leah, that they are at odds, and then they are reunited. Rachel and Leah, in Jewish thought, represent these two sides, different mefarshim, different commentaries, different thinkers, express it a little bit differently. But the two aspects of right and left, just to give one example of this idea without maybe being too descriptive, but we said a moment ago that Yaakov was that combination of his forefathers of Avraham and Yitzhak. Avraham was Chesed and Yitzhak was Gvura. Each of the Avos, and they had a wife who was the Ezer Kenegdo. Right? Avraham was Chesed. He had a wife who was the counterbalance to that Midah of Chesed. And Yitzchak was that Midah of Gvura. He had a wife who was the counterbalance to that Midah of Gvura. Yaakov, who encompassed both of those two Midos, had to have two wives because he had each of those one of them. and Leah was the counterbalance to the other. And you see a lot of ways in which Rachel and Leah, they reflect two very different natures. For example, Rachel is the one who, what she was most interested in was a relationship with Yaakov. When she, the entire time every time Leah has a child, Rachel is jealous because she's worried that Yaakov's not going to want her anymore. When she, I'm mixing this whole thing up. Leah is interested in a relationship with Yaakov. Every time she has a child, she names her child after, now Yaakov's going to love me. Now Yaakov's going to spend time with me. Now Yaakov's going to respect me. When Rachel has her first child, what does she say? She names him after having more children. Yosef li ben acher. Right? That Leah was very, very interested in the relationship between with Yaakov, and Rachel was interested in producing the family. You find that there's a different theme, that Leah is very much right, it's really probably this not a different theme, a different segment fraction of that idea, that Leah represented the internal functioning of Klal Yisrael. When they went to Mitzrayim, Yehuda was sent ahead to build a Beis Medrash. Yehuda is in the future going to be the father of Mashiach ben David, the one who's going to rebuild the internal infrastructure of Klal Yisrael. Yosef was the one who, when they went to Mitzrayim, was sent to speak to Paro and to deal. Yosef was the one dealing with the outside. Yosef was the one forming the barrier with the rest of between Klal Yisrael and the rest of the world. In Lasad Lavo, Yosef is going to be the father of Mashiach ben Yosef, who fight against nations. Mashiach ben Yosef is the one who fights the battle. Mashiach ben David is the one who comes and builds the base of Migdash. Right, that the two components of the internal and the external nature, but there were two opposites. They were also these two midos of Chesed and Gvura, of Chachma and Bina, of the building and the developing. And they represented these two halves, and it was their reuniting. It was the reuniting of B'nai Rachel and B'nai Leah, represented these two opposite pillars. When they reunited, that's where it was the bracha of Mekabes Nidchei Amo Yisrael, and that's this idea of Chibor, that the first bracha of the second half of the middle brachos corresponds to Da'as, because it's the idea of Chibor, the idea of connecting those two opposites and synthesizing them into something which becomes whole. And just the last point, the Migdash, the base of Migdash, is built straddling the border of Binyamin and Yehuda. Binyamin, B'nai Rachel, and Yehuda, B'nai Leah. The base of Migdash is a chibor between the two. The base of Migdash spans the border of those two. The base of Migdash is the chibor between those two components. That's the idea of Migdash, the idea of Da'as, the idea of Kibbutz Galios, is the idea of the chibor, of the coming together, the making unity out of disparity, the idea of Kibbutz Galios.